bulletin. Have you ever seen video from crash testing collisions? A brand new car is brought forward at a significant rate of speed and crashes into a concrete barrier. Smash! Airbags inflate, the portion of the car that makes impact with the concrete crumbles. Crash dummies recoil from the impact. Multiple cameras record the collision from a variety of angles. And why is this done? Researchers do this to try to make cars safer so that when there is a real crash with real people, there are less injuries and fatalities. In our gospel lesson this evening, Luke tells us about a collision of sorts. Not a collision of automobiles, but rather a collision right outside the gates of a town called Nain. It was a collision of two groups that had two very different realities. One of these groups was a procession of sorrow and death. The other was a procession of hope and of life. Luke, in our gospel lesson, describes the customary funeral practice of Jesus' day. It was likely the very next day after this man from the town of Nain had died. Grief and shock were still fresh. The man's body had been placed face up on a funeral bier, a pallet, if you will, and was being carried out of the town gates to the place of burial. As this man was being carried outside of the gates, there were a lot of people that were part of this funeral procession. Much of the town was a part of this. In fact, Luke writes, a considerable crowd from the town was with her, that is, with his mother, who herself was a widow. There were tears of sorrow and moans and wails of grief. Jesus is also accompanied by a large crowd. Luke writes that Jesus, with his disciples and a great crowd, came to the outskirts of the town of Nain. The crowd accompanying Jesus had certainly grown over the intervening weeks as they witnessed his miracles, Jesus casting out demons and healing the sick. And so Jesus and this large crowd with him, they come along and they come upon this funeral procession coming out of the gates of Nain. Could there be a greater contrast? Those with Jesus were filled with life and hope, with energy and with excitement. Some perhaps thought Jesus was the one. He was the Messiah promised from God. At the very least, they were filled with hope and joy to see Jesus perform these miracles. They were filled with anticipation and with excitement. By way of contrast, those who were part of the funeral procession were filled with sorrow. Death had once again reared its ugly head. The widow's husband, of course, had already died, and now her son has died as well. There is no hope, no joy, no anticipation, only sorrow and grief and despair. And so it is that these two processions meet there right outside the gates of the town of Nain. And into this situation, Jesus brings life and he brings hope. Jesus stops and comforts the widow. Then he touches the funeral bier on which her son has been placed. And then he says, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And to the amazement of all present, he does. Luke reports that he sits up and begins to speak. Jesus literally brings life to this situation filled with hopelessness and death. The people are awash with emotions. They're afraid. They glorify God. And the report of this account and what has taken place spreads far and wide. Now think for a moment this evening about our reality. Not only do we experience the death of loved ones, but we ourselves are mired in sin and death. We know that we sin, and we know that because we do, we deserve death. God, speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, makes it abundantly clear: the soul who sins will die. That's you, and that's me. We, in a sense, are a part of that procession coming out through the gates of Nain on that day long ago, filled with hopelessness and sorrow and the knowledge that we have sinned and that we are deserving of death. But God visits us. Jesus literally visited the dead man in the story in our gospel lesson. He visited the dead man and his mother and the people who were a part of that funeral procession. Jesus, the Son of God, entered into human flesh and made his dwelling among us. He visited us to bring us the forgiveness of sins. And so he lived the perfect life we could not live. He died the death we deserve to die, and he rose again to give us life and hope and the expectation of an eternity with him. And he continues to visit us today. He visits us as he comes to us through his life-giving word. He comes to us through the waters of baptism as he brings us new life. And he comes to us as we come forward to receive his meal at his altar. Jesus visits us again and again to bring hope and life and favor to us. God destroys the power of sin and death for us. He comes to us in the bleakness of our own spiritual reality, just as he did long ago to those in the depths of despair. And he visits us with life and with hope, with anticipation and with joy. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forever.